Audio courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. Good morning.
Hey, Kenny, how are you?
I'm good. All right, off we go. I was the only one in the stands yesterday, right? In the group before we head off, right? No one else? Okay, so I was in the stands. I did not know there was a major controversy with the fans until way after the game, until the players started speaking, honestly. I did not know there was a major controversy there, Anthony.
You didn't get 500 texts about what was going on?
I'll tell you what I saw. I'll tell you what I saw firsthand, and, you know, away we'll go. And I'm just giving you my personal observation of what everything happened. I did not get a bunch of texts over fans cheering that Deshaun Watson got hurt.
Oh, because I did immediately.
Okay. Were those from fans in the stands?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I got videos.
Well, I will tell you this. There were definitely some fans who were cheering. When he went down, I think there were a lot of people who felt like there was like almost like a Bronx cheer almost of some sort. I don't know. I don't have another way to describe it. Where there are people going, oh boy. Because when he went down, I go, oh my God, that's not good. And then they showed the replay, and there were a couple of people sitting in front of us who were whooping it up, which is deplorable. I can't sit there and say that. But when they showed it on the big screen, and they showed that going on, and then the players started to come out there, I do believe that the feeling in the stadium changed. When they put him on the cart, I think that there were a lot more people who were your usual, like, clapping him off the field type of feeling, where that is a normal thing that happens in an NFL stadium. That said, there was definitely some fans who were whooping it up. I know that they showed the crowd mic, or the crowd mics going around from the television feed. That's not good. It's ugly. But from what I observed, no, it wasn't 70,000 Browns fans excited that the guy got hurt. From my observation alone, I can't go against what the people who were texting you were saying. I can only go with my observation of what I saw.
Well, it doesn't even really matter anymore, right? It doesn't matter if 70,000, if it were only 100 fans. The way the Browns players reacted after the game will now forever cement that it was 70,000 fans doing it. It just, that's a reality, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the think pieces and the stuff that I saw last night and the tweets and I saw celebs getting into it. I saw LeBron comment. It doesn't matter.
What did LeBron say?
Well, LeBron commented about his ups and downs with fans over the years in Cleveland, but he says you don't do that.
Okay.
But
I didn't see that.
It's because of Miles, Jameis, Greg Newsom, and whoever else had a chance to speak or go on Instagram or put a story up last night.
I certainly heard Greg's point of view. That was for sure. I certainly heard his point of view there. That was some very strong commentary from Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, Miles Garrett, right from the horse's mouth. Listen to Miles.
Here's Miles.
It was harder with the reaction that the fans gave. Whether it's an opponent that goes down or one of our own, we don't boo the guys that are injured on the field, especially, you know, with the extent where the card comes out. And we should be ashamed of ourselves as Browns and as fans to boo anyone and their downfall. To be season-altering, career-altering injury. Man, it's not perfect. He doesn't need to be. None of us are expected to be perfect. Can't judge him for what he does, you know, off the field or on the field, because I can't throw stones for my glass house. We need to do better. We need to do better on the football field, and we need to do better as fans for having some empathy for a man who's doing the best he can and did the best he can up to this point.
All right, that's Miles Garrett. Listen, I'm not trying to make an excuse for the guys who did it. I'm just pointing out my point of view, okay? Is that I didn't, and you're right. It'll be seen as 70,000 people who were booing him or cheering that he got hurt or anything like that. I can't sit there and deny. I can only go by my personal viewpoint of it. There were definitely people. He got hurt. He got banged up on a hit on a drive earlier, if I'm not mistaken. And it was, oh, God, here we go. Because the numbers say it was 15 to 17. I mean, I didn't see him really throwing the ball down the field until that final drive when he got hurt, to be honest with you. And then when he got hurt, at first there were some people going, oh, here we go. And then they saw it up on the scoreboard. Because my friend who was sitting next to me, they're going, what's going on? And I go, oh, this is not good. Because if you were watching him, you could see. If you were watching him and you saw it, you could see it plain as day, someone right. And when he went down, I go, oh my God, that's got to be an Achilles. And my I grabbed my friend, I go, look up here. And he looked up, and it was the, I think when people saw it, the tenor of it didn't change. I'm not going to sit there and deny it. There was a guy sitting down about 10 rows up who was whooping it up and trying to get people to whoop it up with him. And there were definitely people like, no, what are you doing? Stop. So, yeah, I mean, you get 70,000 people in a stadium. There's going to be definitely a group of people who are goofy and act goofy for whatever reason. But that's my experience of what I saw.
Yeah,
just what I observed.
It just sucks. It sucks because it was supposed to be a special day for somebody else. It was supposed to be all about Nick Chubb. He actually got into the end zone. What a fairy tale moment, you know, for him to have put on all his hard work. And then after the game, the players are talking about the fans booing Deshaun Watson. Like, it absolutely just sucks that, you know, yesterday was supposed, win or lose, well, it was supposed to be, you know, a special day for Nick Chubb.
They're sensitive to it. Let me tell you this, because you and I know that there were some guys in that locker room who the week before, it really started to fray between what are we doing with the starting quarterback there. They still see that as it's us versus them, it's a coworker, and they see themselves like, are you going to cheer me if I get hurt? Are you going to cheer that I got hurt?
Exactly.
Is that
right.
That's the way they feel about these
things. Every player is thinking about those types of things. And so whether or not they get along with a guy, whether or not they're best friends, whether or not they think that guy is a leader of the team or just another guy on the field, they absolutely wonder about those things.
So it's a disheartening thing for him. Yeah, I don't even know where we go from here. I don't even know. I'm still at a loss for words almost. I looked up, I saw him on the TV screen because, you know, I'm watching from an angle. I looked up at the monitor, I saw him on a TV screen. That's a broken man. I have to tell you, that was tough to see.
Yeah,
that was tough to see.
For me, I don't find it that hard, as hard as some people do, to compartmentalize different things. Separating all the baggage and stuff we talk about in the offseason with Deshaun and all the stuff on the field. When I saw the guy crying and getting carted off, I felt bad. There are a number of people who don't feel bad. They don't feel bad at all. In fact, they wish bad things about Deshaun Watson every single day. You know, it was brought up, was it Myles Garrett who said after the game that he had gotten, that Deshaun had gotten death threats, that people had been at his house. And by the way, that doesn't surprise me. Even if it was just one person, it doesn't surprise me. People know where he lives. And there were a lot of people that, for them, Deshaun Watson, the acquisition of Deshaun, ruined their Browns fanhood. I think there were.
I mean,
you're about to have a lot of people come out of the woodwork and say just that. Like, now I'm coming back to the team. I can be a Browns fan again.
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to sit there and deny what this has all been. I mean, you had some people who tried to be fans. They haven't accepted him, and at this point, they're not gonna. You know, we talked about how he would be received because they had to announce the offense because Nick Chubb's coming back, and they announced Nick Chubb after, and I mean, it was a standing ovation, very emotional. Everybody excited to see Nick back. When they brought Deshaun Watson out, there was a thunderous boo for Deshaun Watson coming out. They have not been fans of his. They have not accepted him. But at the same time, I do not think that 70,000 people in the stadium were excited that he got hurt. However, I can't deny what you had just said about how it's going to be perceived because the players had brought it up. So I don't want to go in a circle with it. I can only go
and,
in. I can only
you know,
say,
we can
I
be,
think
we
most
can be
Browns
honest.
Fans are sensible people.
Yeah, whether you were outspoken about it, I mean, we certainly understand that. There are I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, if you ran a poll on Friday about, hey, by any means necessary, would you enjoy Deshaun Watson not being the quarterback of the Browns anymore? That poll would be off the charts.
Well, by any means necessary is like ugly. I don't even want
to. But it would, if you just said, hey, we're not going to tell you how it is. We're not going to tell you if it's benched, it's injury, if he doesn't show and decides he doesn't want to play football anymore. The percentage of Browns fans who would be elated that he would no longer be the quarterback would be off the charts. I mean, it'd have to be 80-85%.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it shouldn't surprise anybody that that by any means necessary happen yesterday. There were a lot of fans who were really happy about it. They didn't all cheer. They didn't all boo. They didn't do that. Most of them acted like sane adults, you know. So I don't think it was what it's going to be portrayed afterwards.
No, I'm not.
But deep within the confines of where people don't want to go and don't want to talk about at parties, yeah, I think a lot of people are happy that he's no longer the quarterback.
Well, and I think you just
and by the way, he's rich beyond anybody's wildest dreams, generational wealth, all that stuff. And so that is what a fan would go to say he's going to be all right. He didn't die. He's going to be able to walk again.
It's up to that person to have empathy or sympathy for him. If you want to have empathy or sympathy or not, that's up to you. I'm just pointing out that I believe that most people, the vast majority of people, were rational and sane in that moment and goes, geez, this would be bad karma for me to be excited about something like this. I think that there are some people who definitely just want a clean and utter separation and break and act as if none of this ever happened and move on with somebody else. And that's the way I think a lot of people felt about it even in the stadium yesterday. Because, Anthony, I swear to God, I did not see anything until I got home and the players started talking. I did not know
that. It seemed like that was the only thing they talked about.
I was on the Browns side of the field. I didn't see any of them John. Now, honestly, I was looking up at the TV, but I didn't see any of them jawing with any of the fans. I'm sure, again, there were some fans doing it. It's just a shame because there was definitely some goofballs in there, and I specified one goofball out there. And so now it's going to make a whole fan base look like they're the bad guy in a situation that was unfortunate. Because, hey, I mean, you and I sat there and talked about it for 2 weeks. Would I have benched him? Yeah, I would have benched him. I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want any of this to happen. You didn't want any of this to happen. We had no calls wanting this to happen, for crying out loud. We didn't see any of that. And it's just, it sucks. It sucks. I can't, the time can't go quick enough to where we can start putting ourselves behind the ugly situation. Because I, in the stadium, on God, I did not see any of this happening. And then I looked at my phone when I got home and it was a quagmire. And it was one ugly scene after another. And I feel bad. I feel bad for Browns fans in this situation. I feel bad for the vast majority of fans who had nothing to do with that. I feel terrible. I feel terrible about the whole thing. I feel terrible about the entire thing. So it's a very unfortunate circumstance where you would never condone cheering for a person who's hurt out there on the field. Whether it's an opponent, whether it's a guy you don't like, whether it's a guy you really love, I don't know why, but that'd be a warped way to look at it. Any of the cheering stuff like that, no one condones that. No sane person condones it. And honestly, for some of those people, I hope that they were under the influence of something there and that they wake up this morning and they're sane and they understand that that was an irrational way to look at things. Because at least they would have some sort of viable excuse.
It was just one of the most wild and... It feels like every year we have just such a weird, weird day of Browns fandom. And this is just another chapter.
It's another wedge.
Another leg of that.
It's another wedge.
That incredible legacy of the complicated relationship we have at times with this football team.
It's another wedge is what it is. The chasm grows deeper and deeper between fans and player. And every time when you think it can't be any further away, someone takes out another wedge and there's another wedge in between it. At times, you know, you could say, well, that used to be accepted. Maybe it's always been this way. Maybe it hasn't always been this way. I know that, you know, the money changes things. The accessibility changes things. But no, it's another wedge. And Myles Garrett is a beloved player. And Myles has been a guy who, I mean, what, a month ago said, yeah, it's your money. You have every right to boo. You have every right to boo. I don't think he would. He certainly doesn't condone this. And at that time, he couldn't see a scenario where he would have to say such a thing yesterday. About a guy getting his leg hurt on the field, and then that was it. And so eventually, yeah, like there's a lot of fallout from the fans. 216-474-0092. There's a lot of fallout to the fans. We're going to have to pick up the pieces and move on. I don't know if he's even going to play quarterback again. I have no idea where this goes here.
I know people yesterday immediately went to salary cap implications. It's like, man, there is a guy bawling his eyes out on a cart getting taken off the football field. With a crazy, crazy day of just all sorts of emotion all over the place, and people are sending me salary cap tweets.
Yeah, it was And Seth Walter put it out there, ESPN. Jameis Winston, very animated in his comments, very strong in his comments. I want to play those here for everybody. It's undecided, I believe. Will it be DTR because of the finger? We don't know. But here is Jameis Winston after the game about a certain group of fans cheering after Deshaun Watson got hurt.
I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. I will never pull on a man when he's down, but I will be the person to lift him up. And that, all of us have unique experiences. All of us have circumstances, conditions, and facts that we face every single day. And I pride myself in being a man of increase and being a man that wants the best out of everybody. I tell myself every morning, what I want for myself, I want for everyone. And I do not want the treatment that Deshaun Watson has received from these passionate fans.
As Jameis Winston, your thoughts on Jameis Winston? I mean, I have thoughts on it. You want to take the floor there first?
Yeah, well, I thought he got lost halfway in between there. I think he forgot what he was talking about, but he got back on track at the end. And I think all these guys, to a man, they are having a lot of difficulty with this for so many reasons. First of all, they see their mentions. These guys live on social media. They see their mentions from fans going the way that the fans talk about Deshaun Watson. And they see Deshaun Watson. They are around Deshaun Watson. So what Jameis is saying is we see a different guy. And so we don't understand the vilifying of this guy. And teammates take up for each other. They do. Now, we know, you and I both know, not everybody is on the same page in that locker room with Deshaun. There are people that may have been disgusted by a lot of the allegations. But they're teammates. And they're getting paid a lot of money to be good teammates and to make sure that the thing that matters the most is winning. So, unfortunately, they're not winning. So that complicates things in a lot of ways. But I totally understand Jameis coming in like he did this year, seeing what he believes to be a guy working his butt off to try to turn things around. And so he'll never understand why fans would sit there and boo or cheer or whatever they were doing. Do we get the record straight? Were they booing or were they cheering?
The cheers.
They were cheering?
They just take it as a boo.
Because I heard other people saying they were booing.
No, there were cheers that because
they booed him before
hurt.
The game. We know that
they certainly booed him before the game. And again, they booed him during the game because
that's what they've done almost every home game.
I don't know if we're actually going to talk about the game itself, obviously, with everything else that went on. But I mean, they were behind the sticks the entire time. Jed Wills was terrible, just absolutely terrible. But I can do that another day, and I can do that any day that ends in Y because he's been terrible for the entire year. But when I go back to this, like. There are guys, you know this and I know this, there are guys in that locker room who did not want him starting on Sunday. They were moving on.
100% true.
100% true. You know it and I know it. There are guys who wear that uniform, names that people know that they wear their jerseys, and they did not want him starting on Sunday. And they still see it differently, though. You can say, I don't want this guy playing, or I might not even like that guy. There is a clear line that's drawn, because every time they go out there, it could be their last play. We talk about it all the time. The privilege of playing the game of football and how it can be taken away from you like that. They see themselves there. That's where they draw the line. They cannot like a guy personally and still draw a line like that. That does not surprise me at all. That does not surprise me at all. And it also, at the heightened moment of sensitivity there, when something like that goes down, again, I'll stand pat, and I will say it until the cows come home. I'm in that stadium. How many does it hold now? 66? 66,000. There were definitely some people who were cheering. I ain't going to deny that. I told you, eyewitness account, the goofball 10 rows in front of us, who was whooping it up. And when that went down, I think there was a Bronx like, oh, here we go again. Because there were plenty of people who called us up and said, oh, there's going to be an injury. There's going to be a quote-unquote injury coming up. And so when he goes down, some people like felt it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Then they saw the screen. When they saw the screen and they realized how serious it was, then I think the tenor changed. And I'll say that until the cows come home, until I die. But yeah, you're in that moment. It's an emotionally charged moment. This guy goes down. You look up and you find the guy who's excited about this. The idiot who's excited about this. And it's going to bother you. And there was certainly more than one idiot and 66,000 people. Well, certainly there.
No. Not to challenge you there, whatever, but excited. Yeah, yes, a lot of people are excited to move on from Watson. They didn't want an injury necessarily, but there were a lot. I'll say a majority of the fans in that building, I think they were excited to move on from Deshaun Watson.
I don't think that there were some people who were sitting there thinking, I don't think 66,000 people were saying, oh ye, but a prince and great man has gone down this day. Mm-hmm. No, there was definitely, but they understand that there's a proper respect to not act like a goofball in front of public and understand that there's something there where you wouldn't want that happening to you. You wouldn't want that happening to people you know, and you wouldn't want that happening to other Browns players, and you really don't even condone this. So you can understand and go, hey, this is over now, and there's some part of you that, man, when they showed him getting carted off the field, there is a part of you that feels bad in a way. But my God, you're going to have the proper respect for the moment of what happened.
I mean, there is a certain kind of contract that is established between the fans and the players that we come out there on Sundays each and every week. We understand, we are grateful that you are putting it on the line the way you are, and that unfortunately almost, it seems like 100% of the games, somebody will leave the field with an injury that is going to impact their career. And that's part of the contract that I think goes down before each and every game. And so there's supposed to be a respect there, no matter who it is, even if it's a Steelers player, right? If you're playing the Steelers and a guy gets carted off, what does everybody do afterwards?
They cheer. They give the clap.
And both teams come out. In fact, it was Nick Chubb just talked about this. He had Steelers players who were hovering over him, praying for him last year. So there's supposed to be that understanding between all parties involved. And then it feels like for some people that was broken yesterday.
216-474-0092. John and Parma, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was at the game yesterday, and I was totally appalled and disgusted by the reaction. And I'm not even going to call them fans, the ones that were cheering Deshaun getting hurt. I went to my first game in 1978. I took my son to his first game when he was four, and I beat into his head, you don't boo your own team. We stay until the very end, whether we're winning by 100 or losing by 100. And that reaction yesterday from the fans was just totally uncalled for. And again, I can't even call them fans because you just don't treat your home team like that or anybody. I mean, I was involved in sports my whole life. And yes, you want to win. But like you guys said, there's a certain amount of respect that you have for the players that are out there laying it on the line.
I'll tell you this, John, and thank you very much for the call. Like, I have been steadfast, and I'll continue. If the play on the field's poor, they're professional athletes. If you want to boo, you go ahead and boo. Miles Garrett himself said the same thing, and he's one of the players that are out there on the field. I think that most sensible folks do draw a line to injury there. They do draw a line to injury. Most sensible people do. I would say all sensible people do, because it's not sensible to act like that. Josh in Ravenna, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, man, I was, pardon my voice, I was at the game yesterday and had my 9-year-old with me. It was his first game. I'm thinking, all right, Battle of Ohio, Nick Chubb's coming back. We might actually win this game. And we're fired up for the game. We're watching the game. It's not going our way. You know, we're in 133, seats 1 and 2, row 24. And, man, when Watson got hurt, I was so surprised to see all the people cheering. It was like, man, where is humanity at? I'm not a Watson fan, never have been.
There were a lot of people cheering in your section?
Oh, my God, it was terrible, man. And, I mean, I look at my kid, and he's looking around, and I had to explain to him that, hey, we do not cheer when somebody gets hurt. We may not like this guy, but we're not going to sit here and cheer for somebody to get hurt. That's their life. That's their livelihood. Okay, he's got $200-something million. Ain't my money. It's Haslam's money. This is what happens when guys that don't know football get to throw their money around. They give it to guys that they think have talent, that had talent at one time, but they had a couple years out of football. And when you sit out of a game that is that fast, on a consistent basis, your mind's not going to just stay wrapped around like, okay, you know, I got to get the ball off in 2 seconds. Everything's not Watson's fault that's happened this year. The line's not blocking. Like you said, Willis, he was terrible yesterday. But, I mean, if you look at, like, Manning, how long did it take him to get rid of the ball? Maybe 2.5 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got Watson just sitting there holding the ball. And I'm doing 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi. You know, and my kid, I'm like, watch the receiver, see who's get to open. Because we're a football family. I'm a coach, and he's my little player, you know. And it's just like, it was just terrible, man. The whole scene was horrible. Like I said, I don't like Deshaun Watson, and I wish him the best, man. I hope he heals up. And hopefully this is it for him in Cleveland. He'll go somewhere else. Maybe resurrect his career like everybody else does.
Josh, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092.
That was Greg Newsom. We've heard from Jameis. We've heard from Miles. Last night, Juan Thornhill on Instagram said, cheering for someone's injury is blankety-blank pathetic. Y'all are sick. Zero respect. I mean, is it the players versus the fans now for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got one of the most expensive rosters in NFL history. You've got a bunch of veterans on this team.
You know where this goes.
You are going nowhere fast. You're 1-6. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be this weekend. How many quarterbacks are they going to go through this year? Last year it was 5.
You have enough experience to know this. Because there, again, and there are people go, Ken, you're wrong. Okay, I was there. And you bring in a stack of Bibles and I'll swear on all of them. If there's 66,000 fans there, yes, there were some people who were cheering it. There wasn't, to me, it was a very loud, very small minority. Okay? But the players heard it. So now there's people that were in the stands. They did not cheer that Deshaun Watson got hurt. And you know what this turns into. Juan Thornhill gets burnt on Sunday against the Ravens, which is very well a possibility. The Ravens are a good football team. And all of a sudden it becomes, wait, you're going to tell me what to do and you can't do your job? That's what that turns into. Greg Newsom gets smoked next Sunday against Baltimore. Wait, you're going to tell me how to react? You're going to tell me how to live my life? I can't tell you that you need to be better at your job? That's what this becomes. Rodney got in on it on Twitter. Rodney joins us tomorrow. Going to be a pretty awkward 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, is it not? That's what you know where this goes.
Wait a second. Did we at least get a touchdown out of him?
Not yesterday.
Rodney, what is going on?
You got to find a way to get the ball in his hands and get him in the end zone. I mean, guys, Josh Cribbs is one of the most beloved Browns of this generation. People love Josh. But, hey, you remember, which loss did they have where Josh finally just came apart and he went after the fans years ago? Remember, I was living in Tremont. You were calling me going, are you listening to this right now? I go, what? He goes, Josh is ripping them. Josh is ripping the fans. I go, Josh is what? I'm driving my wife's Dodge Caliber. I turn up the radio. Josh is upset. They're playing Josh's comments. Now, that was 12 years ago. Things change. Thank God. But yeah, for the rest of the year, it's like, oh, really? You're going to call us out? Like, we know where this is going. So now you have a team that's 1-6. Now you have the vast majority of a fan base that did not take any sort of wonderful joy in a guy getting hurt, and they're going to remember that. They are absolutely going to remember that. So they better be a team that's been completely imperfect this year, better be perfect or it's going to get even worse. It's that simple. There's guys who can say it. Everybody can say it. There's guys that maybe are a little bit different than others, like Miles, Nick. These are guys that, yeah, they say something. It's like, all right, let me think about this. There's other guys that they don't care. They do not care. No. Those fans were there before him. They're going to be there after him, and you're nobody to them. They're not going to tell you how to live. That's not how that's going to work. I'm telling you right now. You've seen it a million times, Tone, and that's not just to Cleveland. That's everywhere. You get the money. You get the contract. You deal with it. And I'll act the way I want to act. That's the way that people see it. And most of those people in that stadium did not act like idiots when he went down.
Yeah, I have to say, I absolutely was guilty of a lot of that stuff. Maybe this was young Lima. I think over time, you know, I've met these guys, and I'm not gonna make it seem like they're all saints. They certainly are not. But there are really good ones, and maybe it's the fact that now that we got one of them tomorrow. We got one of them tomorrow. Rodney McLeod is awesome. He's an awesome guy.
Rodney's a good guy.
He's a new father. We talk to him about normal human stuff, but our fans don't do that. Our fans don't really, you might get some of it on social media, but our fans don't really get the opportunity in most cases to sit there and have that kind of relationship with an actual professional, whether it's NFL, NBA, MLB. They just don't get that opportunity. And so it does not surprise me that fans think only certain things about these guys, because I was in that boat. I definitely used to act like that. And I've told you before, Willis McGahee wasn't a Buckeye. He was somebody on the other team. When he went down the national championship game, I was drunk and I was hooting and hollering, because all that mattered to me was winning a national championship when I was 19, 20 years old. I'm 43. I do think differently about a lot of this stuff.
I was still a big Buckeye fan then. I felt sick when he got hurt. I swear to God I did. And then I met him when he was with the Cleveland Browns. You don't want to talk about a delight. Willis McGahee is a delight. 216-474-0092. Let me get back to the phones. Isaac and Shaker Heights, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's one.
Hi, Isaac.
Terrible weekend for almost a terrible year for the city of Cleveland, like with snake bit. But it's okay. We're a strong city. We'll get through it. I want to take it a little different here. I'd like to know, what do you think the players around the league, free agent possibilities, think about him being cheered when he was injured? How would they take it?
Isaac, I would
like to know.
I saw a lot of that yesterday. People say,
Isaac,
well, now you're never going to get another free agent. Nobody's going to want to come here. Guys, the cash is still green, right?
Like, I'm going to let you in on another secret, guys. They all think the same of us in every city.
Fans hate hearing that. I know that when they sign and they're up there and they talk about the dog pound, and wow, I've heard my whole life, I've heard the Cleveland fans are the best in sports. They say that in every city. They'll say it in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
they do. I've seen it. Like, it's just the reality. I know people don't want to hear that. Now, some do over time, like the Joe Thomases of the world, when they immerse themselves in the city, the Joe Haydens of the world, then there is an authenticity to that message.
I mean, look, you look at some of the guys who have become part of media and part of the culture and some of their fan base. I mean, you get like John Ritchie over there and who's the one afternoon host over there? Ike Reese over there in Philadelphia. That's two guys or three or four guys over the course. Hugh Douglas, like a course of thousands of players. Most of it's, I was in Philadelphia or I was in Cleveland for 3 years. I signed this contract and then I left because I went back home because my career was over. That's the way most of them feel. We are the same to them, to a lot of players. We're the same in Pittsburgh as we are to Philly, as we are to Cincinnati, as we are to Green Bay. Maybe Green Bay is a little bit different because it's a touristy place. But everywhere else, it's, hey, they're all hard fans and they're all going to get on you the second you don't perform to your highest level. They feel that way about all of us. So I don't think that anybody is going to decide. The only reason I've ever seen a player decide to not come to Cleveland was because of the performance of the franchise before. Like Tony Jefferson and a couple of other guys. They're not going to not come here because the fans are mean. If the Browns are offering $1 million more guaranteed, they're not going to come here because the fans are mean. That's not an answer.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry.
They're not going
to
not come here because the fans are mean.
I do not think you have to worry about that ever. I mean, you want to go with stereotypes for cities. I was telling Ken before the show, what does everybody say about Boston? No. Racist towards the team. They have no problem getting African-American players in Boston. And players that have won.
It is, players.
It's not something that's going to come back and haunt you.
Listen, I can only go after the people I know that did cheer the injury. And I told you I saw one right in front of me. I can't explain it for them, and I'm not going to explain it for them, but no, they're not going to say that they're not coming here. It's not your fault that the team is bad. It's not your fault that in years past guys have turned you down because the team hasn't been good and they wanted a chance to go running after a Super Bowl. It's not your fault over that. To the 99% of fans that I'm talking to who are reasonable people, no, that's not your fault. Not going to turn it on the fans. That's for all three teams here.